Welcome back to Reintroduce Yourself, the show that challenges you to rethink what you think you know about pleasure. Today, we have a special guest, Dr. Kamari Washington. She's a pelvic health physical therapist. So I invited Dr. Washington to come on here to talk about some actionable steps that we can take to change the narrative about pelvic pain in association to sex. So we're often told that pelvic pain is normal, especially in relation to sex. So that, one, that it's normal, two, that it'll go away, or we're just anxious, or, you know, just have a glass of wine and loosen up. And it kind of turns into something that's expected, or we feel like we have to you know, endure it, and maybe that we're alone in our experience, which can be really harmful, especially if you are experiencing the only sex you're having is sex with unwanted pain. You're not gonna wanna have sex. That's not gonna be a desire of yours. It'd probably be something that you avoid. So that's why I want to talk about this today with Dr. Washington, because we have options. So we are going to explore them today. So to get started, I'm curious about the population that you work with and the reasons that they're coming in to see you.
I would say, so first, I'll just state off that as a pelvic health PT, you know, you can choose the population you work with. I primarily work with people who have vaginas, so I don't see people with penises, and I don't see pediatric patients. So I'll just state that out there. So this is my population that I primarily work with. But yeah, when people come in to see me and it's something related to pleasure, so sexual pleasure, they have different terms, but the biggest one I would say that I see is dyspareunia. That's the name of the condition, but that is just pain, usually with some type of penetrative sex in some way, whatever. And I'm actually trying to do better with like asking people, well, what body parts do you use or what toys do you use? But in general, people come in with some type of pain. And like I said, I'm working with people with vagina, so some type of vaginal pain. I don't have a lot of people that come in to talk about anal pain, but I don't know if that's because of like stigma around anal pain or like, you know, I'm not sure how that goes, but yeah, that would
I think one of the reasons people are reluctant to try anal sex is because they assume it's going to hurt. But when you do medical history, are you asking what kinds of sex people are having?
So usually I'll ask, I leave it open-ended at the beginning. I'm like, okay, I want you to tell me what it is that you're coming in for. Mm-hmm. And they usually will say, okay, sex has been really painful. And then from there, I'm like, oh, well, what is it that has been painful? And so I'll try to be as open-ended as possible so they can lead me in the way. But yeah, usually it's penetration. And then I ask, so if it is penetration, like, is it right at the beginning? Is it, does it get better with time? Mm-hmm. Is it when it's deeper into the vaginal canal? Like, when is it painful? Because that also can be different, mean different things for what we're going to treat.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a lot of questions. It's a lot of questions trying to get through things. And I feel like most times people are like, well, why do I have pain here? And so some of the common reason I do see people coming in for stuff like this, if they are having pain with sex, definitely my postpartum people. So after having a child and they're like, things just don't feel right down there. What is going on? That could be a reason I see people. Trauma though. And I know, you know, you and I have talked about that before, but
yeah,
trauma is definitely something that is, we just hold so much down there, right? We just hold so much in our pelvic floors. And so it can be a chronic thing, like where you've had trauma from a while ago. But even more recently, I've been seeing people who like were having completely fine, sex was great. And then something happened, even with COVID, like it's just stressful. Like life is just stressful. And they have a change where now sex is painful. And so it doesn't have to be that you had some type of like grand trauma when you were younger, but it could be something. And I don't want to say grand because any trauma is trauma, but like, you know, it doesn't have to be something that was a long time ago. It could be something that just happened. You got into an argument with your partner that you can't let go, and now you feel like sex is painful. So it's so many different things that people come in for.
Okay. And what was the condition you were talking about before? It starts with a D.
Mm-hmm. Dyspareunia is what it's titled. Dyspareunia. And that just means like pain with like some type of penetrative. I don't want to say, I guess it would be sex, I want to say. But that can be solo, that could be a toy, that could be with anything.
It could be with like tampons.
Right, yeah, true, very true. But I think with dyspareunia, that's why I'm trying to be specific. The title has to be sexual related, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, and then you have vaginismus, which can just be like involuntary, like spasms. And this is like the cycle. So dyspareunia, you have pain with like a sexual interaction, which goes into you being fearful of this pain with intercourse, which leads to anxiety about having sex, which can lead to vaginismus. And vaginismus is just like you have these involuntary spasms at the vaginal floor. So yeah, it's like all these titles are just pain. You got pain, and we put a title to where the pain is. Mm-hmm. But
so one of the things I kept seeing as I was getting ready for this episode was women experiencing pain, especially mm-hmm. younger women, and you know, kind of being told to wait because for some magical reason it'll get better. Mm-hmm. You know, and my question is, what exactly are we waiting for? What is going to change? What, you know,
harmful.
Yeah, yeah. Is something going to change in our body? What's going on? So,
right.
You know, a glass of wine isn't going to solve the problem. Mm-hmm. You know, experience. Yeah. Isn't going to always solve the problem. So what are some... Yeah.
And then not giving like even if you tell me to wait, which I don't agree with, but like what resources, like and you're right, like right. What am I waiting for?
Right.
What
right.
is the magic button that tells me, oh, now it's time for you to not be having pain.
Exactly. So, yeah. Exactly. So you kind of, you know, think to yourself, okay, well, it's going to get better. So let me just be quiet and let this pass because, you know, kind of speaking up might seem like, oh, something's wrong with me because I'm supposed to be over this. So my question is, what are mm-hmm. some steps or what, because a lot of healthcare just isn't comprehensive. So we could be going to our primary care doctor and they're telling us it's just anxiety if they even ask, because a lot of doctors aren't asking about sexuality, pleasure, any of those things. So they're telling us that it's anxiety. We might go to the therapist and they're telling us something else if they're, you know, trained in sexuality, which a lot of times they're not. So what are, mm-hmm. you know, things we can do? Because it's not always a glass of wine. We can't rely on wine every time we want to have sex.
Yeah, it's such a loaded question too, because, and I really think their OB-GYNs are, especially like the newer generation of OB-GYNs that have come in, like are so much well-versed with like knowing that pelvic PTs exist. And mm-hmm. like, there's still so many loopholes in healthcare that can be better in that regard with like collaboration and stuff. But
right.
I would say if you kind of walk in and kind of have more information, which is why I'm glad you're doing this podcast, right? You're going to be educating people. But if you have that knowledge, you can walk in and say, you know, I want to see a pelvic PT, you know, and that can just be a way to get you closer versus like having to go through these loopholes. But some of the other conditions, before I answer that question, some of the other conditions I didn't mention too, that people come in for like pain with sex is endometriosis. That's a big one that I think people don't even think about.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, I'm learning still so much about how pelvic PT can help with endometriosis, but there are so many things that people just like feel like they can't enjoy anymore because they have so much pain, especially if it's during their menstruation, whatever it may be. That's another reason. There's interstitial cystitis, people who have like bladder pain, if you have radiotherapy for cancer. So that's another reason you might want to come in. Menopause. So any type of hormonal changes that people go through, that changes your lubrication. So menopause, going through childbirth, because also your hormones change there. If you're breastfeeding, your hormones are changing, certain medications. So those are all different things that could cause painful sex because you're not lubricated well, or you might even have what we call vaginal atrophy, like where the muscles, especially during menopause, like the muscles of the vagina literally start atrophying or like losing their muscle mass. And so, yeah, that can be another area. And then you had asked me too about anal hemorrhoids and like anal fissures. I always say that wrong, but anal fissures, which are like kind of breaks in the skin. Those could be another reason for like painful anal play. So I just wanted to make sure I kind of covered some other conditions before going into the next part, which was what you was asking me. Treating.
What about people with like retroverted uteruses? So their uterus is kind of tilted.
Yeah.
What about those
people? You know, I feel like I've seen so many different vaginas and uteruses. Like, I really don't know if I know what a retroverted, like truly, and that might mean just need to do more training, but I'm not exactly sure.
I have one.
Really?
Yeah.
And is
so
if you
wanted to see.
Thank you for volunteering yourself. I appreciate it.
No, I thought about this yesterday. I was like,
yeah.
Kamari could do an exam for me.
Yeah. How does that affect you?
How would what affect me?
How does it affect you? Do you feel like an effect for, or like, how did you even find out you had
So I was getting an IUD, and this is when I was working at Planned Parenthood. So I was getting the insertion and the doctor was inserting it. And I think she was having a little trouble. And one of my coworkers came in with, an ultrasound. So she's looking, she's like, oh, your uterus is retrograded. And I'm like, okay, well, what does that mean?
Right, exactly, right.
So am I going to have issues when I go to take it out? And she said, that's what I was thinking, because this is in for some years. Right. I need to know.
Right.
So she said, no, I got it. I think the main issue is with penetration.
Okay.
I don't know why I did that. So
hand movements.
Yeah. So the main issue is with penetration, but it doesn't really bother me.
Okay.
Because I'm a masochist.
Okay, well, hey.
So, I think for me, the sensation of pleasure is more intense than the pain.
Okay, that's fair.
So, it doesn't really, yeah,
and that's,
I'm not bothered much.
That's something that, you make a good point about that, too, because that's something I probably could do better, is, like, asking people, is this something that you enjoy? Like, because if you want to have that sensation of pain or, like, / pleasure in that way, then like maybe that's not something we need to treat for you right now. So I guess clarify, is this pain that you actually want, right? That you
right.
So that's a good point there,
because I think definitely some people are inviting and welcoming of that.
Right exactly. Yeah, but yeah, and I mean, I think in all, it's based off, I'm gonna treat like what I see. So if I find that the uterus is like lower than it needs to be, or like if it's something where you have fascial restrictions through like your abdomen that's causing things to be in a different position, like that's stuff that we can work with. But you know, I'm not really using ultrasounds to diagnose the direction of people's uteruses. So yeah, in that regard, I might not ever
know.
Yeah, that's fair.
So okay, I have a follow-up question.
Yes.
So let's say I go to you because I'm a fan of preventative care or just going to specialists just to see, you know, what's going on. So if I go to you and I say, hey, I'm here for an exam.
Right.
What happens?
What's next? Okay. So typically, like you'll have an evaluation. So you'll come in. Again, it's very open-ended usually as far as like, what is it that you're coming in for? Some people come with a referral from their like OB-GYN or from their primary, but some people come in direct. Every state has some form of direct access to PT. So every state is a little different with what that means. But if you have a referral, I usually just look through that, but I still ask you, what is it that you're coming in for? Listen to your story, listen to the history, background, whatever it is that's on your mind. And then I ask a lot of questions to like fill in gaps about things that are important. From there, once we're done with the talking part, based off what you say, we'll see like what's most important to assess. If you were coming in, let's say, sticking to the topic, if you were coming in for some type of pain, right? So pelvic pain. If you were okay with it and, you know, meeting people where they are, like, are they comfortable with this today? Whatever it may be. Typically, we would do a vaginal exam. So that would look like me setting up the room, getting you on the bed. We don't use any speculums with pelvic PT. It's gloves, hands. We use lubricant for like one finger. If we need to, we ask if we can use two fingers. But I'm using maybe like, I'm going to like the tip of my finger at first just to feel the outer layer. Even before that, sorry, let me back up. First, finding areas like externally, like even through the inside of the thighs, through around the vulva, around the skin, seeing sensation around different areas, checking for clitoral mobility. Can it move? Is it doing things? Is it stuck in a certain position by like fascial restrictions?
Okay.
What else? Yeah, external look.
I'm very interested.
Yeah. I mean, because even if you have, or if you have some surgery or something like that, and we can have scar tissue anywhere. So you have knee surgery, we come in, we work on like trying to move the scar around. Same thing can happen if you had some type of scar tissue down there or anything. So making sure things move like they need to, you have sensation like you need to, is all important. But then from there, that's when it goes to like one finger, lubricant on the finger. And then assessing first, like your first layer of muscles, and then going deeper to like the back layer of muscles, and then asking you to do, can you squeeze hard around my finger? Can you push my finger out? Anything like, where are the areas of pain, and like being very specific about where those areas or intensity are. And then at the end, kind of coming up with a plan that works for you as to what we're going to do for treatment.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's like the flow of it. That's the flow.
Yeah. I think I'm very interested.
You should definitely. I think, yes.
The one thing that caught me was the movement of the clitoris, because I feel like more recently people have just realized that it's more than just a little bean.
Right.
Little spot.
Yes.
Curious, even for myself, to be able to not monitor, but just acknowledge the movement, know what's going on.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like I haven't dived into more of what, you know, more work that probably could be done with the clitoris. Usually I'm just checking to make sure it does move, but there's other things that you could go into detail with it. But I think everybody should see a pelvic PT. Like, I just feel like it's an experience.
I agree.
It's an experience.
I agree. And you know what? In one of my coaching sessions, one of my clients is dealing with some incontinence. Mm-hmm. So in our first meeting, I said, you should consider going to a pelvic health PT.
Yes.
He was like, you know, I'm willing to try anything, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. He didn't go.
Oh.
So months later, at our last session, he was like, you know, my doctor, she recommended that I go to a pelvic health PT. And you know, I'm petty. So.
Right. But, oh, okay.
I said, oh, that's interesting.
Right. That's interesting.
Remember when we first talked, you know, a couple months ago, when I mentioned this and I told you, you know.
You planted the seed. You planted the seed.
Yeah.
You planted the seed. And she just happened to water it.
That.
Yeah. They have.
I will take
it.
That.
I feel like that's common though. People like, which is why I just try to be so forward about it and like try to be answer questions just open ended, whatever, and without hesitation, because people do. I don't know. It's just so much taboo around it, and like, I'm like, why? Yeah,
you know what? I like working, and I like to stay in my lane because
fair.
If something happens, it's not my fault.
Yes.
So with that, I'm not a medical professional.
Okay.
So
yes.
I'm not gonna push it. Yes. Just like this older woman told me, mind you, I'm not bringing up these conversations. She was like, yeah, so I did a douche the other day, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I said,
Yeah.
I don't know if that's
necessary.
Maybe you should consult your doctor about that.
There you
go. She's like, no, I've been doing this for years. Yes. This is how I do it. I said, yes. Okay. That's you. Mm-hmm. Who am I to tell you? Mm-hmm. I'm not a doctor.
And I think that's the most important thing. Just say, can you consult your doctor about this and put it in your notes? Told patient to consult doctor. about this. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because it definitely can be a lame thing sometimes. Like, I just love everything about like public health or reproductive systems and just like. But sometimes I have to tell myself, like, this is not your lane. Let them go where they need to go. Because you get excited.
So, yeah. What were we?
I know you had asked me about some solutions. I don't know.
Yeah.
Get there? If you want me to kind of expound upon that, I have a whole bunch of different things people can do, which I feel like.
Okay. So, let's say I have a partner, penetration is painful for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. What could I do? Mm-hmm. What could they do?
Yeah.
One, at home, because there has to be something free.
Right.
Because everybody can't go to the doctor.
Yes.
So what can we do at home? Mm-hmm. And I guess what would that look like on your end?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I try to be, I try to think about that from different avenues, right? So if you can.
And another thing, another thing is, I feel like a lot of people think they can read something online and it's all good, mm-hmm. or it's treated. Mm-hmm. So when I say, what can you do on your end? It's for the people who have seen some information and think that I can handle it.
Mm.
So,
yeah.
Professionally, what can you do?
Yeah, yeah. And I think that is so, like, you know, when people come into the office too, and like, as public PTs, we're not trying to take away any power from you, right? It's us guiding you into more power. So that what you just said is so crucial. Like, yeah, you might have read some things and like tried some things, but you can get into this cycle of frustration if you try all these different things and nothing is working. So having someone to guide you along is so crucial. But I would say starting from the top, if you can see a pelvic PT, like even if like, let's say financially, like it's an issue for you. If you save up for maybe at least one session, just like your evaluation, you can be very straightforward. Like, hey, I financially don't know how long I can support these appointments. Is there a way that you can give me a program for like a monthly thing versus coming in every week? You know, that treatment probably would be a little bit different, and that PPT will have to like navigate that. But if that's what you got to do, that's what you got to do. But that basic information first of like, okay, what is my pelvic floor even doing? What areas do I need to focus on? That's important for you to know what you need to do at home. And they can help you with that.
Right.
So that would be, I'd say, number one still, if you can do at least one appointment.
And I think that's a really good way to think about it, because sometimes we're like, oh, I can't afford it. I'm just not going to go.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So making it work for you.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly, because even I, you know, like I said, I work primarily with people with vaginas, and like a lot of them are moms and new moms. A lot of them are coming in postpartum, and who am I to say you got to be here every single week, twice a week sometimes? That's not working. That's not gonna work. So, you know, we do what works for your schedule or your financial budget, whatever it may be. But some other things I would say doing is like addressing like the root of things. So whether that's journaling through, like whether that's talking to a sex therapist or your whatever therapist you may have, but like finding the reason why you and this partner are having this issue. Like, where is it coming from? Did something come up? You know, that's important because you will never push past like the body stuff. Your body responds to whatever that thing is, and so if you never address the source, it's going to be a cycle. After
That's
that,
one of the reasons why I like
What
learning
you
more
gonna
about public health physical therapy, especially, from our conversations, there
say?
seems to be such an emphasis on, finding the root cause of an issue, rather than, treating a symptom. Because, you can treat it, but that problem's still gonna exist. You can, alleviate the symptoms, but you're still gonna have some issues. They're gonna come back. So that's one of the things I enjoy about it, especially because, from what I can tell, it's pretty comprehensive with emphasis on mindfulness and being in your body and any other specialty that you need. Whereas, sometimes when I'm at a doctor or, from other people's experiences when they're at the doctor, it's okay, let me treat this specific thing that you came in here for, and then you find yourself, still in a bind. So overall, to me at least, there seems to be an increased awareness of the way that our emotions, trauma, events, how that can manifest in the body. So it's not just, do these exercises and you'll be good.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's if you gotta hit it at the root, you got to. Some other things that like I would say if you're doing at home and taking because usually when I have people coming in with pelvic pain of any sort, 9 times out of 10, it's usually that there is a lot of tone at their pelvic floor. So like there's, I don't like to say tightness, but that's what people generally know as the word of like understanding what tone means. But it's increased like density through your muscles. Like they are holding on, they're not relaxed, right?
They
Like they
feel
are just in this
stressed.
anxious, tense state. Right. They feel stressed. So doing body scanning, like trying to do daily, even like throughout the day, holding wherever you're holding on tension, there's a lot of connection between like our jaw and our pelvic floor. There's a lot of research that shows about like jaw clenching and pelvic floor tension, even like our feet. So are your toes really curled up when you're standing up or like laying down? Wherever you can, trying to address body scanning throughout the day. Glute clenching, a lot of people squeeze their butt and just hold on to their butts. Let go.
Throughout the
Let
day.
go. Throughout the day.
Oh, okay.
I do that sometimes too, saying I have to catch myself.
Wow.
Yeah. This one of my patients, she said the next week, she came back, she was like, you know how I realized I was glute clenching my butt? My boyfriend would hit me on the butt and it would
Oh.
be like rock. It wouldn't jiggle. I used to jiggle. She was like, I used to jiggle when he would hit my butt. But she was like, I haven't been jiggling lately.
My gosh.
So yeah, if somebody walk by and you know consensually is hitting you on the behind and it's not jiggling, you hold no most likely to some tension. Just release. Release. Yeah. So just doing that throughout the day is helpful. Stretching as well, like if you are someone that's not in a yoga practice, like those are usually great things to start incorporating, but being able to stretch through, and they have pelvic floor specific stretches too that can be helpful. But like you said, just getting that mindfulness part of it and like really diving into releasing tension throughout the body is just so. Another thing which I feel like you will be all, you know, I'm sure advocating for is just like foreplay. Like that can decrease pain by so much. People be just like, I just want to dive in. I'm like, bro, you gotta get the waters going
It's
first.
not like gone are the days that
Yeah.
I'll just jump in. And foreplay can look a lot of different ways, so that doesn't necessarily mean that nobody should be having quickies or they're not good or can't be satisfying, or you know, you can't be super excited to see your partner and go in right away. But foreplay can start before you even see that person. It could be, you know, in conversations leading up to it. So it make it work for you again.
So, but foreplay just decrease some of that tension throughout your body and like tells your body that like, okay, we are getting ready for this thing. Like we're in a safe zone. We're like relaxing. We're bringing down.
Yes.
Yes. We're bringing down our fight-flight responses. So there's a lot with your nervous system that is going on if you really dive into that moment. But like increasing your lubrication, like all those things are going to be helpful for decreasing the pain when you do any type of penetrative thing. So,
and that's why like routines in general are good for you, because your body knows we're waking up, we're about to exercise, we're going to go to work, we're about to go to sleep.
Right.
So
that makes sense.
You have less problem. Yeah.
How much foreplay do you recommend? Like, I'm just curious from your like.
If do I recommend?
Yeah, or like from any reading or learning that you have, because I feel like they have statistical, like this is how much, we usually say 20 minutes, like at least, just to warm up for a body response.
I would say, 15, 20 minutes at least. And I have trouble when people ask me questions sometimes. Like you had asked me a question a couple weeks ago, and in my head I'm like, is she asking for like educational purposes,
educational.
Or is she asking me personally? Because my answer is not going to align with what she wants. So I kind of sat there for a minute like, okay, let me be neutral. But for me,
deep sigh.
A long time.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. And I'm thinking more because people listening to this might be thinking from an educational side of things.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah, but I don't necessarily need a long time.
Right.
I feel like so now I'm getting into something else. So my body prepares for. Sex long before I get there, because I'm talking to people, I'm talking to the person, getting excited, talking about what we're gonna do. So by the time I get there, I'm ready.
Right. Yeah.
But that still doesn't mean I'm just gonna dive in.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So for me, it's a hard question to answer.
That's
because
fair.
Traditionally, we think, okay, foreplay, a couple minutes, penetration, or some oral penetration, it's over. But I haven't followed that in a long time.
Yeah.
So it could go back and forth or back and forth, where overall there's like, I want to say 45 minutes of what we would call foreplay here and there. But yeah.
That's fair. Yeah. It's and I think the important part too is like knowing what your body needs, your body, everybody's body might be different, and establishing that with your partner too.
Yeah.
But the other things I definitely want to mention too, because I know our time is going, but I definitely want to talk about, people, the resources that or different instruments that might be used with pelvic PT to help with pain. Like dilators is one thing. So like they're dildo shaped sizes, incremental sizes. So you have like a smaller size and you can work your way up to like bigger sizes, but that can be used to help train the muscles for allowing for penetration. You could even do those before you go into a penetrative sex to prepare your body for that. We have also wands that will be used in PT sometimes. And so these, they have like, it's a longer kind of curved end so you can manipulate it, but they have like a rounded end so you can find what we call like tender points. So the dilator is more about like that's the shape of it, right? And allowing for it. The WAN can go specifically to, like, if I know this muscle, and that's the point, and you need to know that from your evaluation for from pelvic PT, and I tell you at home, I want you to use your WAN and go to your back right area. That's where you have this tender area, and it's kind of, and you're going to use that to kind of, the WAN to kind of massage through that area, release tension through there. So that's another reason why I do recommend you go in for that first eval so you can at least know what areas to target and how to do it correctly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then they even have different types of dilators you can use. So most people, I think, see the silicone-based ones, but they also have glass ones that can be a little bit more. So those can be better for people who do have pain. And you can use, I know you can't use silicone lubes with silicone toys. So with the glass, you can use the silicone lube, which is a lot more slippery and can help you with, like, decreasing some of that friction even more.
Okay.
So there's just so many different, like, so many little pieces of it that can help with preparing you for the moment and getting there. And just lubing in general. Like, don't be just going in there with that lube.
Right.
So important. Right. So important. But those are the main things I'm thinking about. Those are the main things. The main things I'm thinking about, though.
So... what about something like CBD? Is that something that helps more than, you know, regular lube?
That is something I'm still trying to, like, I like to say stuff from research, and I feel like I haven't spent enough time, like, looking through research. Practical, like, in clinic, I have had people who will use CBD to, like, calm their body. Like, they'll take some CBD before going, if they know that it's usually a painful experience for them. I have had some patients that will use that, and it helps them just, like, bring down the nervous system. But yeah, I don't know about, like, topical things research wise.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So any last pointers, resources, tidbits?
I'm gonna send you some links with just, like, a few things that can be helpful for people, like international websites. We have the International Pelvic Pain Society that has a lot of pamphlets about pelvic pain. There's a couple YouTube videos that are like how to do pelvic floor stretching and different things. But even those dilators, I was saying, they have some expensive ones, but then they also have some on Amazon that are like $20. They're plastic, so they feel a little different than silicone, but $20 for being able to help you do your own therapy once you get that first evaluation is better on a budget. So, but in general, just overall, like, go see a pelvic PT if you are having pelvic pain.
Get your evaluation.
Exactly. Get your evaluation. If you have pelvic pain, you leaking, you can't control your bladder or your fecal matter, you can't, you know, relax your pelvic floor to even start peeing, like, that's hard for you to do.
It's not normal.
It's not constipation. You can
don't wait
for that. Don't wait.
The message of the day is don't wait.
Yes,
it's not going to change.
Exactly.
Nobody's going to come and fix it.
Yeah.
Don't wait.
Yeah. Go in and get that help. Go in. That's it. That's my last word.
Well, thank you for making time on your busy day.
Yes, thank you for having me. This was nice, and I am so looking forward to the rest of the episodes. I'm excited. This is great.
So again, I'd like to thank Dr. Washington for taking time out of her day to sit down and talk with me. And thank you all for listening. So if you'd like to learn more about Dr. Washington, or, you know, take a look at any of the resources that she recommends, take a look at the show notes. If you want to learn more about her, you can follow her on Instagram at Dr. K Washington_. And if you enjoyed this episode, be sure to leave a review and share it with a friend. Until next week, Shelley.